Today we're going to be reading Revelation 9, verses 1 through 12. Revelation 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. And the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. And on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots, of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. You may be seated.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your presence here this morning. And Father, just the fact that as we pray, Lord, you're hearing, you're listening. And now, Lord, we want to listen to you. We want to hear your word as your Holy Spirit teaches us. So, Father, in this amazing, in this strange, as it were, passage of Scripture, and yet very sobering, Father, touch every heart here for your glory, our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world where there is more and more fascination with the occult, with the dark side, with the things of demons, Satanism. Some of it is very blatant, like certain rock groups, rock music. It's just blatantly from the pit. Even the names, some of the older groups, Black Sabbath, Megadeth, some of those just blatantly demonic, satanic. Other stuff from the dark side is more subtle. It's more attractive. There's a real fascination today, I'm finding, with people wanting to communicate with the dead. Don't go there. Harry Potter. Parents, oh, but my kids are reading. They're finally reading something. Don't go there. It's an introduction into the things of the dark side, packaged very nicely, very appealingly. Horoscopes, Ouija boards. Why? Why this attraction to the supernatural? Well, we live in a world where materialism is reigning. But materialism doesn't satisfy the spirit. It doesn't satisfy the deepest spiritual needs in people, and so there's an attraction to the spiritual realm. Many people today say, well, I'm a spiritual person. But you have to figure out what they mean by that. Is it some New Age spirituality? Some pursuit of the other side? The dark side? Organized religion doesn't satisfy, so man turns to the spiritual realm, and many are seeking it in the wrong places. Behind it all is Satan. Satan is one who was once an archangel, we believe, the archangel of heaven, but he rebelled and led a certain percentage of the angels of heaven with him in rebellion against Almighty God. Isaiah 14 talks about that, we believe, his fall. He's cast out of heaven, and these fallen angels have become his demons now. The end of time tells us, or the Bible tells us, at the end of time there will be an increase in satanic, demonic activity on the earth. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the one who now restrains is no longer going to restrain, and lawlessness is going to break out, inspired by demonic spirits. That is, the one who's coming, the Antichrist, is in accord with the activity of Satan. He's going to come with all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. And the world is being set up for that even now, by this rising fascination with the dark side. We're in a study in Revelation. We've seen the seven seal judgments as the Lamb opened the seals. We're in now the trumpet judgments, these seven trumpets. We saw last time the four that were sounded, and those were not directed primarily against men. They were directed, remember, against the ecology, against nature, against the water, against the crops, against the oceans, against the heavenly bodies that shine light on the earth. But now we're going to see, as I said, in this very strange, stranger than fiction, although it's true, this amazing passage, a demonic invasion that's going to happen on the earth during the time of what Jesus said, the Great Tribulation, a time unlike anything previous, nor ever will be. There's going to be a great demonic invasion of planet Earth. We're in the fifth trumpet, the fifth angel. Verse 1 sounds, and let's begin. We'll see five things this morning about this demonic invasion, about these demonic spirits. Number one, they're from the dark side. Verses 1 and 2. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. A star fell from heaven. We need to take the book of Revelation literally whenever we can. Previously, we saw stars falling from heaven, hitting the earth, hitting the sea. I believe literal stars, bodies, asteroids, meteors, comets, whatever, hitting the earth. It's going to happen. But there are sometimes and many times in Revelation when there's symbolism. This apocalyptic style of writing was rich with symbols. And here, the star apparently is a reference to an individual, to a being, to a person, because he's referred to as him. The key was given to him, and he opened the bottomless pit. Who is this star, then? Who is this being? Is it Satan? Could be. Jesus said, I saw Satan, Luke 10:18. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Probably a reference to when Satan rebelled against God and was cast to earth. We're going to see later in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that Satan, the dragon, being cast down from heaven. But that's still coming in Revelation. So maybe this isn't Satan. Could this be a good angel? Well, I think it could be. I guess I would give preference to that. We've already seen that stars are symbols of angels in chapter 1, verse 20. And then also at the end of the tribulation period, chapter 20, just mark it down, chapter 20, verse 1, John sees an angel, a good angel, coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss. He has the key of the pit and a great chain in his hand, and he takes hold of the dragon who's been roaming the earth during the tribulation, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. He binds him for 1,000 years and throws him into the abyss. But there the angel at the end of the tribulation already has the key, and here during the tribulation he's given the key. So perhaps this is a good angel, which I tend to think it is, who unlocks the pit and by command of God releases all of these demonic spirits. Either way, Satan or a good angel who's given this key, God is in control. God is controlling the unlocking and the locking. Verse 2, this angel opens the bottomless pit. Literally, it's translated the pit of the abyss. This is not hell, I don't believe. This is not the lake of fire. But the Bible teaches that there's a place of intermediate confinement of demonic spirits known as the pit or the abyss. As we just read back in Revelation chapter, Revelation 20 verses 1 and 3, Satan is going to be for 1,000 years locked up in this pit of the abyss, in this bottomless pit, while Christ reigns on earth in this beautiful time of his millennial kingdom. 1,000-year reign, and Satan is put away, and then he's let out for a while, and he goes out to deceive the nations, and finally is cast into the lake of fire. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus encountered a demon-possessed man, and Jesus said, "What is your name?" He said, "Our name is Legion." There were many demons that had possessed this poor soul, the demoniac. And Jesus was going to cast the demons out of the man and cast them into the swine, you recall. And they said, don't cast us into the abyss. Don't consign us to the pit. And Jesus cast them into the swine. They went into the sea. Demons are disembodied spirits. They look to possess. They look to indwell something. They said, cast us into the swine if they had to leave the human being. Demons are those fallen angels that now assist Satan in his work in the world. Much of the evil in the world can be traced to demonic spirits. But it's very important that we realize that there are two broad categories of demonic spirits. There are those who roam the earth. Just as the Bible says that Satan walks about as a roaring lion, right? Seeking someone to devour. Satan walks about. His demons are roaming. And they're looking to indwell, to possess. And if not to possess, to influence towards evil. Many examples in the Bible of people being influenced and possessed. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus gives the principle. In Matthew 12, 43, he said, when the unclean spirit, get this, goes out of a man, is cast out, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there in that individual. There are these spirits who are roaming the earth, seeking to influence, seeking to indwell men, people. But there's another class of spirit besides these that have been given freedom at this time to roam the earth with Satan. There are these that apparently are confined to this place called the abyss, the bottomless pit. 2 Peter 2:4, write it down. Says this, God did not spare angels. If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and that is not Gehenna there, it's the word Tartarus. Cast them into hell, into Tartarus, and committed them, get this, to pits of darkness. reserved for judgment. That word Tartarus there in 2 Peter 2:4 was a word in Greek literature for the most evil of people. That place reserved in the lowest parts of the area of punishment. Peter may be saying then that these that are confined to Tartarus, reserved unto chains for the day of judgment, are the most evil, vilest of the demonic spirits. Jude 6 says, and angels, Jude verse 6, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. 1 Peter 3, mark it down, verses 18 to 20. Peter writes about spirits that are now in prison, those who were disobedient in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, when God brought the cataclysmic, catastrophic judgment of the flood on this earth, apparently brought it on a world that had been influenced by demonic spirits. Spirits working to totally corrupt the human race. Genesis 6 talks about when the sons of God cohabited with the daughters of men and produced a race of people. I don't believe that was angels cohabiting with women, but I believe it was men who were influenced by demonic spirits in an attempt to corrupt the human race. And Peter makes reference to those spirits that are now in prison who were disobedient in the days of Noah. And God sent the flood and wiped out the human race and started over with Noah. But the point is this, is that some demons are now clearly being held in the abyss. This pit. This intermediate place. But they're going to be released. At least some of them are going to be released during the tribulation when the pit is unlocked, when the key is given. And this pit is unlocked and smoke comes out of it like the smoke of a great furnace. That smoke is a symbol of the corruption and the vileness of these beings that are now in the pit. Can you imagine the ugliness of that place? Wherever that is, the ugliness of these dark beings, spirit beings, bodiless beings. Smoke. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. John sees this. Demonic spirits unleashed on the earth. John Phillips writes in his commentary, exploring Revelation, he says, picture what the world would be like today if all of a sudden all the doors of all the penitentiaries in the world were opened. And all of the murderers, all of the rapists, all of the child molesters and killers were set free. It's too horrible to think about. Now think of in the tribulation for those earth dwellers at that time, when God allows this abyss, this pit, to be unleashed, and out of it come these demonic spirits. Friends, you don't want to be here. Verse 3 says, out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. I don't believe these are literal locusts, because the pit is where the demonic spirits are, not where locusts dwell. But the locust is a picture, it's a symbol again of something very ravaging. These demon hordes are, just picture it in your mind, John saw these locusts, rank after rank of these grasshopper-like creatures, these locusts. Tremendously destructive insects. These are locusts who don't eat vegetation, you'll notice in verse 4. They're not locusts because in verse 11 they have a king over them. And Proverbs says the locusts have no king. These are demonic spirits, but John sees them pictured as these locusts because locusts were feared in that day. I have a picture. I looked at it this week in one of my Bible encyclopedias, and it shows an olive tree, a huge olive tree in Jerusalem in full bloom. And then they took the picture 15 minutes later after the first picture, after a swarm of locusts had descended, and that tree was completely bare in 15 minutes. Locusts were deadly. They are deadly. Huge swarms covering thousands of miles. And as I said, a locust infestation was feared in the ancient world. Some places still feared today, although been able to be controlled with pesticides and so on. But here's a picture of demons symbolized by ravaging locusts who consume everything in their path, unleashed on the earth to cause as much misery and destruction as possible. They're from the dark side. Number two, these demonic spirits have derived power. They have derived power. Verses 3 and 4. Notice it says, to these locusts, power was given to them. Power was given to them. Underline that. Was given to them. As the scorpions of the earth have power. We'll say a little bit more about scorpions. Power was given to them. But verse 4 says, they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. God restricts their power. He restricts their destructiveness to those who aren't sealed, the 144,000 that were sealed by God, and probably all those who are believers on the earth at that time, they're protected by God. Those who have His name written on them. Satan and his demons have great power, but only God has all power. And here they are under God's restraint. He lets them go for 5 months. 5 months is, by the way, the lifespan of a locust, of a literal locust. But here, speaking of a limited time of punishment that men might repent. But God limits it. Whatever destruction and damage these demonic spirits as they afflict and indwell and wreak their havoc in the earth, whatever they do is only by permission of God. Remember Job? When Satan came before God and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him in the earth." And Satan said, "Well, of course, you've put a hedge about him. But let me at him." God said, "You can't touch him, Satan, but you can touch what he has." Satan said, "He'll curse you to your face." It didn't work. And then Satan came again, and God said, "This time, you can touch him, Satan. You can afflict him physically, but you cannot kill him." And Job was horribly afflicted physically and emotionally, but Satan couldn't kill him. You see, because God has all power. Martin Luther said, the devil is God's devil. By that he meant this created being, Satan, one time a beautiful angel, rebelled against God. Now is still, he can only go as far as God will let him. He can only do what God permits. In that sense, he's God's devil. God has him on a leash. But God in the tribulation is going to loosen the reins, as it were. What a horrible time. Thirdly, these demons devour men, verses 5 and 6. They devour men. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. It'll be a limited time of torment. This awful time, this seems stranger than fiction, as we said. They will torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. Anyone ever been stung by a scorpion? Good. I haven't, and I don't ever want to be. Don't ever know that I've seen one. When we were in Albania, the Zelmers told us they had them in their house. Pray for the Zelmers. These things that look like miniature lobsters with these big pinchers up front and a tail that curves around forward with a venomous stinger. and you get struck by one that is one of the potent species, and it attacks your central nervous system and can cause paralysis and spasms and convulsions. Interestingly, similar to people that Jesus encountered with demonic spirits as they convulsed in his presence. But the torment of these is worse than actual scorpions because they're demonic spirits from the pit, but their torment is like the sting of a scorpion and you can't get away from it. While Jesus was on earth, there was much demonic manifestation, and you can expect it to increase as the time of Jesus' return draws near, and we're seeing it. They are going to torment. Now, how will this torment, what will this look like? Let me just suggest three things from the Scripture. Because the Bible gives us insight how demonic spirits, these who will be released from this pit at some point in the tribulation, to afflict men, to bring their ugliness and their vileness and their corrupting influence. Number one, it will be in physical torment. Physical torment. Luke 13:11 tells us about a woman that Jesus encountered, and she was bent double. She could not straighten up. And the word says there that for 19 years she had this sickness, this disability, if you will, caused by a spirit. I think of Paul, who had a thorn in the flesh, and what did he call it in 2 Corinthians 12? A messenger of Satan to afflict him. We've already mentioned Job, whom God allowed to touch his body. He was covered from head to foot, it says in Job, with boils. He scraped himself with a piece of pottery, covered himself with ashes. He was tormented physically. These demons are going to run wild, and there's going to be all manner, we can't begin to imagine, the torment, the physical torment, the stuff that will break out on man during that time because of these demonic spirits let loose from the pit as God loosens the reins. Now we must be balanced, because there are those today that think every time they get a cold or they get a sniffle that there's some demon that's given them that. We've got to be balanced. We have to be careful. But we must not also overlook the spiritual side of our physical distresses. That oftentimes Satan, as he did with Job, God allows Satan to bring those things to test us physically. There have been times when I've had speaking opportunities, even from this pulpit, and we've been speaking of very serious things. They always ought to be serious, but just especially heavy things of great weight and gravity. And sometimes something will come across me and I can barely stand up here. And I've had times when the room is... I don't want to sound strange or weird, but I sense that there's something physical going on in my body. The great preacher Spurgeon, I don't think he ever got over this. When he'd get up in that pulpit, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, he would get physically sick before he'd get up to preach the word. You think that was just mere stage fright? I don't think so. I've experienced that. There's satanic, demonic resistance. It's spiritual warfare. And it has physical ramifications. Daughter Marie, these two little children attacked by this dog in Bishkek. And praise God, because of prayer, these children are coming out of it, but horrible facial injuries as this dog attacked them. Well, do you think that there might be some demonic involvement there to discourage these parents to where they've gone on the front lines of service? Well, there's physical torment. Secondly, this torment, like the torment of scorpions, will be mental and emotional torment. You know, there is so much mental illness. There is so much today that people are afflicted with. All kinds of strange things. And again, beloved, listen. Not all mental illness is the result of satanic attack. But the Bible shows what Satan and demonic spirits can do to the mind. Remember the demoniac, we referred to him earlier, Mark chapter 5, this demon-possessed man in Mark 5. He was naked, living in the tombs, in the graveyard. He could not be bound with chains, although they tried. He was howling out in the graveyard, out of his mind, gashing, cutting himself, injuring himself. Jesus came. Cast out the demons, the legion. And this man, it says, was clothed then, and in his right mind. What a time it's going to be when these demons, these vilest from the pit, are unleashed on this earth. And the earth is wrecked ecologically, and now people are just mad. Mad in the sense of insanities. Demons that are tormenting. Paranoia. And then thirdly, they will torment through the temptation to evil. Satan is the tempter. He tempts to lust, to commit sexual immorality, to lie, to steal, to kidnap. Story in the recent Reader's Digest, about, it's called Acting on a Hunch, about a woman in a supermarket that saw this young child. Was she just resisting a parent, or was this someone abducting her? She followed her hunch. Maybe it was more than a hunch. And foiled what would have been a gruesome, probably killing, in the current Reader's Digest. But when that kind of stuff is happening, when the demons are inspiring it, it's here now. The killings in the schools. Why are parents killing their children, drowning them in their home, drowning them, driving cars off the lake, jumping with them off the bridges? What is going on? Well, what's it going to be like when the demonic spirits from the pit are let loose on the earth and this kind of torment is taking place? If you think the world is ugly, vile, depraved, immoral, debased, beloved, the tribulation is just magnified and magnified and magnified. The Bible says evil men and seducers will get worse and worse. And this rise in witchcraft and occultism and the things of the darkness is only the beginning. And then it says in verse 6, it will be so bad, get this, that in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die and death flees from them. You see, demonic spirits, they're not going to be permitted to kill, but they'll try and they'll torment. Just like that little boy, when the father brought him to Jesus in Mark 9, and the father said, Lord, can you help us? The demonic spirit throws my son into the water and into the fire to try to destroy him. The demons aren't going to be able to kill. God is not going to let them to kill anyone. Just to torment to the point of that. And it'll be so bad that people will want to die. Maybe they'll try to kill themselves, but they're not going to be able to. It says death will flee. It's like they're pursuing death, but they can't catch it. It is like hell on earth. And people will look at death as being just sweet release. And yet what lies beyond for people who don't repent is just infinitely worse than even what this is in hell. Fourthly, these demons dominate. They not only devour, they dominate men. Verses 7 to 10. And we don't have time to develop this, but John sees in his vision these locusts, these things just coming out, these locust-like creatures coming out of the pit. And their appearance was like horses prepared for battle. And I think this is symbolic. All of these things, it describes their character. They're strong. They're powerful. They're like horses coming out. They're fierce, unstoppable. The military won't be able to stop them. Congress can't stop them. You can run, but you can't hide. They're like horses prepared for battle. Notice they have crowns on their heads. That symbolizes victory and invincibility. They have faces like the faces of men. They're intelligent. They're deceptive. They have hair like the hair of women. What is that? Maybe that's a reference to the fact they'll be seductive and alluring. They will appear to be very pleasant. They'll lure people to destruction. And oh, that's happening today. Their destructive wiles already being brought. People think there's nothing wrong with dabbling in the occult, with seances, communicating with the dead. As I said earlier, don't go there. They have teeth like lions. They're fierce. They're powerful. Your adversary, the devil, the scripture says, walks about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. They have teeth like lions. They have breastplates like iron. It's impossible to destroy them. You can't resist them in that day. Thank God He has already sealed His servants, right, so that they can't be touched by this scourge. The sound of wings like a huge army everywhere throughout the earth. They have tails like scorpions, three times the reference to scorpions, because these are there to hurt and afflict men. And then fifthly, they have a diabolical leader, verse 11. They have a diabolical leader. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. Some would say this is Satan. It could be. I tend to think it's probably an angel who is in the abyss now, but he's a high-ranking angel and he's over them, because Satan isn't really associated with the abyss until he's cast into it at the end of the tribulation. But they have over them the angel of the abyss, some ruler, some leader. His name is Abaddon, and in the Greek, Apollyon, which means destroyer. I destroy destruction. What a fitting title. But the point is this. We had that illustration earlier. What if all the prisons on earth were open today? What a frightening thought. What a frightening thought. But who would organize them? But here, these demons are released, and they have a king. They have an organizer. They have a leader. Now, beloved, some people look at Revelation, they look at this, and they try to figure out all the details and get involved in it to the degree that they miss the forest because of the trees. What is God saying? God is saying there is an awful time, we can't even comprehend it, that is coming upon this earth. I don't know that we've interpreted everything correctly here today. But the bottom line is there's an awful time coming on the earth that is too gross, that is too ugly, that is too vile to even comprehend or imagine. And those who are alive then, who haven't accepted God's protection, God's grace, His mercy, are going to suffer the full brunt of it from these diabolical demons. You might say, but this seems so unlike God to let something like this loose on the earth. You said the devil is under God's control and He's giving Satan permission. He is. And this seems vile. This seems too much. And in a way it does. But listen to this. God's purpose is to bring men to repentance. That's why it's a 5-month. It's a limited time of distress. And we're going to see that very few repent. But God wants men to repent. He allows this to happen so that men would repent. Because what's coming is worse. Eternity in hell. Eternity in hell. Infinitely worse than even this. Woe to those who don't repent and go to the lake of fire and spend all eternity in the presence of these fiends, these devils, who torment for 5 months. But can you imagine all eternity in hell in the presence of these ugly spirits? I saw a sign recently on the freeway. It's a place where if you weren't careful, you'd head down the wrong way. And a big, big red sign, wrong way, wrong way. They repeated it. Turn back. Turn back. You've seen those. Which way are you going? This is almost stranger than fiction. But it's truth. And it's coming. Would you bow your heads, please? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know that when you die, you're going to heaven? If the rapture happened today, would you know you'd be caught up with the true believers, or would you be left behind? Do you know you're saved? Would you now, if you aren't sure, acknowledge your need of Christ, acknowledge that you're a sinner, you cannot save yourself, you cannot earn your way into heaven. Baptism won't do it, church membership won't do it, catechism won't do it, good deeds won't do it, your mother and dad can't do it. You must come empty-handed and admit your need, your lostness, and believe that Jesus Christ died in your place, paid the penalty of your sin to purchase your redemption. And by faith, you invite Him to come into your life, to cleanse you, to forgive your sin, to make you His child. Would you do that? Would you pray in the quietness of your heart? Would you invite Him to save you? Would you ask Him to come in? Father, Lord, these things that are difficult to speak of, the awfulness that will be poured out on the dwellers on the earth at that time, Lord, I pray that every person here today, that no one would leave here without being sure that they're saved and forgiven and going to heaven. Now, with your heads bowed, if this morning you've put your trust in Christ, would you just slip your hand up that I could thank God with you? That this morning, you came in here today, you weren't sure you were going to heaven, but today you've trusted in Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up that I could see it, please? Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. In Jesus' name.